really doing with me and Roxanne. He was working with us in a church planting ministry. Now, we had a lot of failures. One success, we had to go to Africa for that. Okay? But that is what the Lord has been doing in our lives all these years. And I want to praise him for it. We take your Bibles as a scripture reading for today. Turn to Luke chapter 2. I'm not really preaching out Luke chapter 2, but just to have a text to work off of. We're going to read the Christmas story, verses 1 to 20. I'm going to ask you to please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one unto another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was as it was told unto them. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to preach your word for myself. I thank you, Lord God, that each of us, your children, has the opportunity to once again hear your word. And Lord God, bless us with the word. But Father God, aid us also as we look inside of us and determine how we really are related to you. As we study the characters of the Christmas story, Lord, may they not just be characters in some kind of story, but may they become real in our minds, and may we understand that they are just like us. And we should, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can either avoid mistakes that they made, or we can be just like them. I pray this in your Son's holy name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible, as many of you already know, is a wonderful read. But what makes the Bible even better is because these are real people in this book. You know, we keep hearing about how these are fables. No, they're not. Because we got real people. And sometimes some of our Sunday school teachers in the past may have taught the Bible as though it's just a series of stories. But I would like your attention to be drawn to the characters of the Christmas story and look at them as real people. I have classified them. Of course, you've got your insert today. We have the wary person. We have the wondering person. We have the willing person. We have the waiting person. And we've got the worshiping person. And as we talk about these characters in the scriptures, I want you to examine yourself. I know that's a tough thing to do because I've examined myself many times. I haven't liked what I've seen. You may not like what you see, but it's for your benefit to hear the word of God and make adjustments or continue on doing what you're doing for the glory of the Lord. I'm going to start with Zacharias, Luke chapter 1. Now, I told you that the scripture reading that we had was just a jumping off place. We're going to be a little bit all over the scripture, particularly, though, in Luke chapter 1. We read about Zacharias in verse 5 of Luke 1. Now, he was a priest. And the priests were, the way I had it explained to me, selected by lot to go into the holy place, to the altar of incense, to burn incense, making prayer right in front of the veil, which separated the holy place from the holy of holies. Zacharias was selected, and he was praying. And then take a look at verse 13. Into the temple came a stranger, at least to Zacharias. And the angel spoke to him and said, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Wouldn't you like it if God would send an angel on a regular basis to say, "Hey, your prayer was answered"? That would be really terrific. But those angels, they would be so busy with all of that. Zacharias had a special blessing. Gabriel came and told him, "Your prayer has been answered." Now, what was the prayer? Was it just a prefabricated prayer? A prayer that was asking for Messiah to come? We're told in the song, O come, Emmanuel, and by other preachers, that Israel was constantly looking for the Messiah to come. So was Zacharias praying for that? Or had Zacharias just recently been meditating on Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, where it talks about how the messenger is going to come before the Messiah to prepare the way? Of course, there's other verses in Isaiah as well as Malachi that talks about that. Was that the prayer that was being answered? Or did Zacharias, while he was giving his formal prayer, slip into another prayer, a personal prayer? Was he saying, "Lord, you know that Elizabeth has been barren. And you know, Lord, I would love to have a son born into the priesthood to be able to minister for your sake. Give me a son, Lord." I think that may have been a very real possibility, because what does Gabriel talk about after he says, "Your prayer has been answered"? He talks about Elizabeth becoming pregnant. He talks about the son who's going to be called John and what ministry he is going to have. Now, this is very important. You see this as number one in the notes. Zacharias heard what Gabriel said. He heard the word of the Lord through Gabriel. He understood what the word meant. And then he said, I don't believe you. Oh, no, he didn't use those words. Take a look at verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. This can't possibly be. We're too old to have a child. We've been barren all these years. It just can't happen. How can I know that this is going to happen? Okay, Zacharias, I'm paraphrasing Gabriel. You asked for it. You're not going to be able to talk, and you're not going to be able to hear. How's that for a miracle? Boom. It just didn't happen. The word weary, a weary person, and beloved, there can be weary Christians. The word weary means suspicious, skeptical, untrusting, not believing. And there are Christians as well as the unbelievers. You know, we keep going back and harping about those unbelievers without wanting to look for ourselves in some of these categories. They don't believe. Now, let's talk about the unbelievers. I don't know if you know the name Thomas Paine in American history. He was the author during the War for Independence. He was the author of pamphlets called Common Sense. And there was a multitude of those pamphlets. And he was encouraging the colonists in their fight for independence. Well, he later on went to France. And while he was in France, I believe the book that he wrote was called Age of Reason. Okay? And in that book, Brother Bill, you're talking about the resurrection and also the virgin birth today. Thomas Paine, the unbeliever, said that the resurrection was a good cover-up for that fictitious story of the virgin birth. Okay? Yeah, he's a skeptic. He's an unbeliever. He was wary. But what about us believers? Eve was the first one to doubt God, right? We're just dealing with historical facts. She said to the serpent, we're not even allowed to stay away or touch that tree. The better thing would have been stay away from that tree. But she got too close. And that's what a lot of us do. We like to walk on the edge of sin. And then she met the serpent. Boom. They rebelled against the Lord. What are some different things that we could doubt the Lord by? Well, some people do look at the virgin birth and they say, yeah, that's not possible. I remember when I was first year of teaching, I was teaching in 7th and 8th grade Bible class. It was a private Christian school. And I brought out about the virgin birth. I brought out about how the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ were half brothers and half sisters, and how Joseph was not even the real father of Jesus. And one of the boys piped up and he said, "That's not normal." No kidding, it's a miracle. Exactly. Now you got. But there are who will ponder it so much that after a while they turn against it. There are those many Christians, even Scofield, I believe, in his Scofield Bible, had a hard time believing in the 6 24-hour day creation. I know about the seventh day, the day of rest, but he doubted it because we have all this evidence for evolution. Bunk. There is no evidence for it, okay? And I'm just going to throw that out there. The truth of the matter is, I've taught enough science. I know that evolution is just a bad hypothesis, let alone an axiom, a universal law. I have heard Christians who, when I have preached that the Word of God says that we are to forgive one another, I can't do that. Surely the Lord will make an exception for me, because what they did to me was they doubt what the Word of God says. They heard it. They understood it. Nope, I'm not going to believe it. Stay away from that. I have heard other Christians say, are we really supposed to tithe? Okay. I was in one Sunday school class. They were talking about finances, and we got on the topic of tithing, and one young man in his 30s at that time said, well, the word tithing just means gift. I said, it means one-tenth. No, it doesn't. Okay? Changing what the Word of God says to suit their own purpose. When I was pastoring the church, Decatur Heights Baptist Church, in their history, they had a situation where a husband started to flirt and then get romantically involved, I do not know to what degree, with the assistant pastor's wife. I met my soulmate. I was just 20 years too late, okay? Surely the Lord wants me to be with somebody who I love. Do you hear the doubts? Do you hear how they're changing the Word of God to suit their own purpose? Please be wary of being wary, okay? Avoid being skeptical like you would avoid the coronavirus, the Delta virus, the Omicron virus, to bring it up to date, okay? Let's go to another person. Wary is really negative. The next one I listed as the wandering person. And that is when Mary comes and meets Elizabeth. Let's read the scriptures here. Verse 39, Luke chapter 1, verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Catch this. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed that there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. From the words that I see and hear, Elizabeth was pondering, wondering, questioning. Why is this happening to me? Let's rehearse the reasons why. When Mary's voice came to Elizabeth's ears and to the ears of John the Baptist, he leapt for joy. He did the 6-foot-high jump in her womb. Okay? As I was thinking about it, it kind of reminds me of Jimmy Stewart in the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Okay? Remember when he came back to life? He was running into Bedford Falls, and this is what's on the screen. Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls! In that almost soprano-like voice, okay? And that's probably what John the Baptist did. Hallelujah! It's the Virgin Mary! The Lord is here! What really caused Elizabeth to just wonder and ponder all of this? I mean, obviously, it was really a unique experience. Was it because the Virgin Mary was visiting her? And by her presence, so was the Lord. And by the way, she was in her sixth month, and Mary was told about it, and she came. And according to the Supreme Court back in the 1970s, Jesus Christ didn't even look like a human being. Well, the Bible says that when my substance was not yet formed. Yes, there is a small time, about 6 weeks, as what we're hearing Texas to say. Okay? But right from the very beginning, it's a life. Amen. Okay? I'm going to share something with you that's awful. I want to give you a heads up ahead of time that it's a terrible thing. But I heard somebody call in Sean Hannity on Sean Hannity's radio broadcast. And he was saying, oh yeah, I know that from conception, that's a human life. But, now this is the part that's terrible, some murders are sanctioned. It's okay for some woman who doesn't want to go through the process of birth to kill her baby. That's awful. By the way, I'm getting off track a little bit. I'll try to get back on track. But Roxanne and I know that the baby hears the mother's voice. Roxanne had our two sons by cesarean section. In the second one, they had her strapped down so that, you know, nothing would happen. And Benjamin came forth and he was crying, you know, what's going to happen to me? Put me back in. No. And Roxanne said, could you release my arm? And they did so. And she reached out and took his little hand and said, welcome to our family, Ben. And as soon as he heard her voice, he stopped crying. He knew the voice of his mother. He heard it for 9 months. That child is alive, and nobody's ever going to tell me different. Amen. What all communicated to Elizabeth? Well, I read there that the Holy Spirit came upon her and told her. Wondering about the things that the Lord does is a good thing. My brother, last Saturday on the 18th, on his birthday, was in the hospital. He had a blood clot in his leg and a blood clot that went to his lungs. Okay? And he wrote to me yesterday when I finally felt comfortable enough to wish him a happy birthday. He said, I don't always understand what the Lord is doing. I'm paraphrasing. And I said, I a lot of times don't understand what the Lord is doing. I ponder it, yes, like Mary pondered what the shepherd said, like the whole population of Bethlehem was pondering it, okay? Wondering what was going on. But the Lord will always show us, okay? I like the song, I Wonder As I Wander. I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die. Why did he do that? For poor, ornery people like you and like I, for poor, ornery sinners who are destined to hell, I wander as I wander out under the sky. When Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow stall, with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. Well, the wise men were not there. But high from the God's heaven, a star's light did fall, and the promise of ages it then did recall. If Jesus in heaven had wanted for any wee thing, a star in the sky or a bird on the wing, or all of God's angels in heaven for to sing, he surely could have it, 'cause he is the King. Yes, we should stand in awe of the majesty and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But be careful how much you wonder. Again, we're going back to the skeptic type of thing. There are a whole lot of people who keep saying things like, I'm so bad, God can never forgive me. He forgave the thief on the cross just minutes before he died. God can forgive anybody. Amen. If all this stuff is true from the Bible, why doesn't God give us a sign? He gives us creation. He gave us the Bible. He gave us Jesus Christ on the cross. What more do you want? Okay? People are always saying, I want to see before I believe. I want, and they want just a little bit more. Remember that movie that we saw about a month ago, A Distant Thunder? Remember the main character? She was either going to lose her head and end this life, or she was going to take the mark of the beast and lose eternity in heaven. And what was her real problem? She pondered, she wondered, she had to have evidence. You know, there is a time you got to give up all of your wondering and just believe. Just put your faith in the Lord. The truth of the matter is, the more that you wonder and wonder and wonder, the less likely you're actually going to come to Jesus Christ. So I commend to you, yes, wonder, but act on it. Just yesterday, we heard on the radio, G. Campbell Morgan is supposed to have said something like this: there is too much investigation and very little explanation. I changed it a little bit. I say that there's too much investigation and no application. You've got to apply the truths of the Bible, and then you know it becomes real. I commend to you wondering and being in awe what the Lord does. Stay away from that wary business, okay? But now here comes something even better than those two. The willing servant. Now, we've got it here in Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26 and going to verse 38. And I'm not going to read it. I'm not going into details. This is where Mary has been approached by Gabriel. He informs her of everything. Now, somebody might say that she doubted because she said, how can these things be, seeing as I know not a man? It wasn't a doubt, okay? She was asking a legitimate question, okay? For an example, let me go back to Abraham and Sarah. Do you know both of them, it's recorded that they laughed when they heard the Lord saying that Isaac was going to be born. Sarah laughed in a spirit of unbelief. the Lord as much as said so. And then she tried to defend herself by saying, I didn't laugh. And the Lord said, oh, yes, you did laugh. Okay? Now, Abraham also laughed. But I believe it was a laugh in belief, a giggling in anticipation. This is really going to happen. I'm going to be a father. Okay? The Lord said so. See the difference? I think that Mary asked her question, how can this be? I don't know a man. I'm a virgin. And then in most of this passage, Gabriel goes ahead and explains what is going to happen. After she heard, she said, take a look at verse 38, Luke 1:38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She was the willing servant, the willing person. Here I am, Lord. I don't know what's going to happen, but you work your plan in me right now. She gave her body. A number of years ago, I started to reflect on the scriptures and came to the realization that when we give ourselves to the Lord, we give him our future. And we also give, and this has been expressed, it was expressed Wednesday night by Pastor during a prayer meeting. Mary also gave her reputation. If I give myself to the Lord, what are people going to think? It doesn't matter what people are going to think. It matters what the Lord is going to think. Take your Bibles, please. I found something a couple of months ago. I got into the Greek over the summer, and a bunch of questions came to me. Romans chapter 12. I wanted to look at one particular verse. Now, Zach can tell you that there is a verb tense in the Greek that means that's constantly going on. Right, brother? Okay? And then there's also a verb tense where it means it happens just one time, usually in the past. Take a look at Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That word present is used in the Greek tense of one time. Mary, one time, said, okay, Lord, here's your handmaid. Do to me whatever it is you wish to do. When I was 15 years of age, and I didn't know the scriptures, I didn't know anything of Greek. In my ignorance, can we say, I gave myself to the Lord. So this past summer, I found out when I gave myself to the Lord, that was a lifetime commitment. It never ends. Oh, it needs to be refreshed. I'm not going to deny that. But the Lord takes us at our word. Lord, here am I. You know, Isaiah, after he, I know that I just jumped to another subject, but Isaiah, in chapter 6, when he saw the Lord seated on his throne, and you know, this was in the temple area, God said, who shall we send? And what did Isaiah say? Here am I, send me. I want to go. He gave himself to the Lord. That's what we're talking about. He was willing. And brother and sister, you who have received Jesus Christ as Savior, we urge you to go to the next step. Not that it provides more salvation. Not that it makes you better than everybody else, but it's just the right thing to do. Give yourself to the Lord. Here am I, Lord. Send me. That was just one of the first miracles that Mary was going to experience. I want to share something we heard on the radio yesterday. I'm sorry I didn't get the preacher's name, but he brought out a lot of fantastic information. Where was Jesus Christ born? Bethlehem. Do you know what Bethlehem means? With Pastor, I'm pretty sure he's already gone over this with you. House of bread. And that preacher made a connection. The bread of life was born in the house of bread. I like that. I never thought about that before. Over in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, which was the prophecy, Bethlehem has two names. Do you remember? Bethlehem Ephrathah. Okay, Ephrathah. And he told me yesterday that Ephrathah, Pastor, I don't know if you already know this, Ephrathah means fruitful. The bread of life born in the house of bread is fruitful. Don't you like that? I love it, okay? But those were just some of the miracles. She's going to be informed in my sermon of another work that's not going to be as pleasant. I really believe that every Christian should give themselves to the Lord. When I was young, youth pastor in York, Pennsylvania, and a little bit more of a big mouth than what I should have been, I would talk often about commitment to the Lord. I was asked to give a devotional at a Sunday school picnic, and I talked to them about the Jews at Kadesh Barnea. That is the location where the 12 spies were sent out. And they came back with that negative report. Why? Because they did not trust and believe the Lord. And Israel would not commit themselves to the Lord to go forward. Before that devotional, I had already asked, how many have committed, dedicated your lives to the Lord? No hands went up. Beloved, I encourage you, give yourself to the Lord. Be the willing person. Okay, I'm going to hurry up a little bit. I think I'm beginning to lose you. Okay? Hang in there, all right, for just a little bit more, okay? The willing person is the best for the next step. The waiting person. Now, this is in chapter 2, and it starts verse 25, and this is about Simeon. Simeon is an old man. Simeon had been promised by the Lord, Simeon, you're going to see the Messiah before you die. And so in order to see the Messiah, you know what Simeon did? He put himself at the right place on a regular basis. He was at the temple. Where else would the Messiah come but to the temple? And so Mary and Joseph are walking in with Jesus at this time. He's going to be named. He's going to be given to the Lord. And as he's there, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to Simeon. I know the word Holy Spirit is not there. I realize that. But who else would tell Simeon? And Simeon took one look at them, and he shuffled on over, possibly with a cane like me. Okay, could I hold the baby, please? And they allowed that old man to do so, that stranger. And he looked up in heaven. Okay, Lord, now I'm ready to go home. For I have seen the salvation of Israel. I'm paraphrasing. He knew that it was. But what was the secret? He was waiting. In the scriptures, we are encouraged to wait for the Lord. Brother Daryl, Brother Sack have been preaching to us on Sunday evenings, and they are as much as encouraging us, be watching on a regular basis for the Lord to come. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Underline some of these words. These are great words. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now, we're the sons of God, daughters of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I sin so often. I do so many wrong things. How can I possibly be a child of the Lord? We are. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ and our faith in him. Just accept it, okay? But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. What is this verse talking about? It's talking about waiting. Watching, because the Lord can come at any time. You be careful the next time you tell a lie. You might get past that one, but the next time the Lord might blow that trumpet at the same time as you're lying. You're supposed to be watching, okay? The Lord's going to come. You don't want to be caught in that sin, okay? It could be having an exchange of opinions with your spouse loudly. You better be careful, okay? The Lord can come at that. Do you want to take that to heaven with you? You don't even have time to say, I'm sorry. We're waiting because Jesus is coming. And praise God. You know, a lot of Christians talk as though we're going to have this body for all of eternity. Praise God, I'm going to get out of this body one of these days. Praise God, I'm going to have a body just like Jesus Christ. And the major thing about that body is it's holy. It's righteous. There'll be no more sin. Praise God. And now turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep. Let us not dawdle. Let us not clown around. Let us not be careless. Now, I'm just trying to explain that word, as do others. But let us watch and be sober. Take your Bibles, Acts chapter 20, verse 31. Now, in verse 28 of Acts 20, Paul warns that there are going to come wolves dressed up like sheep. And beloved, that has always happened throughout the history of the church, but I feel like I'm seeing it more and more. And beloved, we really have to be careful to stand by the word of God. Otherwise, they're going to take us in. They're going to deceive us. But now for 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day. Please just be reminded of what the Lord has already said and act on it on a regular basis. Now, Simeon was not the only one who was a waiting person or a watching person. Anna came in at this time. And she joined in with the duet, okay? and was singing glory and praise unto the Lord. Beloved, let us be cautious. Pastor, just was last week, you were encouraging us to try to take a week to be holy, right? Well, I want to add to that now another week. Because the Lord is coming, and we don't want to be caught in sin. We want to fully become just like Him. The last one, the best of all, the worshiping person. And of course, I'm referring now to the Magi, Matthew chapter 2. Could you turn there for just a second? Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Okay, I'll read verse 1 because that's a necessary introduction. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when he had when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Worship is telling somebody else how worthy they are to receive appreciation, adoration. They are worth it. Over in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, and we're not going to turn there, but we see the 24 elders. We see the four beasts. And then we see thousands and thousands and thousands of angels all getting together, and they're worshiping God. And what are they singing? "Thou art worthy." I believe, beloved, that when these wise men approached Jesus Christ and gave their gifts, I think it was on their knees. Nowadays, they have changed the definition of worship in the church. It's not get on your knees during prayer time. It's not laying out full length in your private home. Okay? It's not that. It's, man, I got to boogie a little bit. You know, that music has got to affect my body, and then I'm worshiping. Nothing at all. It is on your knees, flat on your face, in front of the Lord, and acknowledging He deserves everything. There's a little bit of a contradiction in this verse, okay? Did the Magi worship Herod? I mean, he is the king of the Jews. If anybody deserves to have somebody bow down, be bowed down to, he deserves that. But who did they bow down to? A baby who hasn't done anything yet. But He is the Lord. We worship the God not because of what He does for us, but because of who He is. So I caution you in conclusion, be careful about how wary you are of what God says. Be careful about how skeptical you are. Ponder the miracles of God all you want, but act on them. Let them become a part of you. By all means, when you hear the word of God, no matter how it's preached or what is preached, say, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, aid me to do exactly that." Be the willing person. And always while you're willing, be waiting, watching. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Amen. And as I have said before, I'm going to repeat it. I used to pray, even so come, Lord Jesus, with the attitude inside of, get us out of this mess. I'm not doing that anymore. Praise God, He's given me a new understanding. Even so come, Lord Jesus, for your glory, not for us. And by all means, not just on Sunday morning, every day, worship Him from the heart, not from the body. Amen. Father God, Father, thank you for this opportunity to impart the Word of God as I believe that it actually is written. And I pray, Father God, for myself. I need to be the most willing and worshipful and waiting servant. But I pray for my brothers and sisters that they too will make a decision regarding their own lives. And Lord, may you be glorified. I pray in your Son's name. Amen.